bad as an X-Wing fighter. Don't judge. Aw, I would never. His warm brown eyes smiled back at me again. Good, because there may be some rebel ships on the next page. I had to amuse myself while that blowhard in the Nix hat asked 17 questions. I knew exactly which student he meant, and the guy really was a blowhard. But I teased Andy anyway. Now, do you hate him because he always wants to talk about cubism, or because he wears the Nix hat? Andy gave me a full-on smile this time, and it was really pretty hot. Both. Who's your team? Not for nothing, I had learned how to talk sports, even when I didn't give a damn. But boys, they loved it. I'm a Celtics fan. Not that it's easy. They're not a good team? He put a hand to his chest in mock distress. Katie, they're the best team. It's just that they lose most of the time. How is that possible? Andy blinked at me with wide eyes. Then he leaned over the printer to copy the last two pages of notes. Aren't we surrounded by evidence that the people who win are not always deserving? Interesting. I was pretty sure he wasn't talking about basketball anymore. Thanks for your notes, I said softly. It's going to make a huge difference. Don't mention it. He stapled the sheets together and handed them to me. And that was the moment when I no longer had a reason to stay there, chatting with the nicest guy I'd met in forever. We'd reached that moment, the one which concluded the predictable chapter of our evening. Now a page would be turned, and we might find the end stamped there. But I found that I wasn't really ready to hear those words. I'd taken a big gamble telling Andy my uncomfortable little story, and trusting him with it had been the smartest thing I'd done all week. He'd let me get mad, and he didn't think I was an idiot. I'd know if he did. Those big eyes were just too expressive to hide it. I wanted a little more of Andy. Truly, I did. I stood up, then, and turned to him. Unfortunately, he didn't catch the look of intent I was trying to give him. I'll walk you back, he said quickly. He grabbed his jacket and shrugged it on. Andy was truly adorable, and lovably uncalculating, even gentlemanly. Look, Mom, I found one. But that would simply not do. Not at all.
Chapter 10. Andy. Katie moved slowly over to the door of my room, but she didn't open it.
Thank you for the notes, and for taking me to that wacky party, and for inventing a game that distracted me from feeling like a moron.
I smiled at her. In fact, I'd been grinning like a mental patient all night, probably. But she had that effect on me. You're welcome. For all of it. Best sorority party I've ever been to. She gave me a teasing eye roll.
Very funny. You told me earlier that it was the only sorority party you'd ever been to.
That doesn't mean it's not true. For a second, I got lost in the happy look on her face. Also, I expected her to move away from the door. But she didn't. Katie put her back against the door instead. Raising her chin, she looked up at me with soft eyes. Hold up. Those weren't just soft eyes. They were eyes that asked for something. Whoa. Time out. I'd heard Bridger use the phrase fuck me eyes before, but it was a safe bet that I wasn't getting fuck me eyes from anyone. Like, ever. And I wouldn't know them even if I saw them. These, however, seemed to be kiss me eyes. I was pretty sure, anyway. Oh, hell. A couple more precious seconds were wasted while I did the math one more time, just to be confident I wasn't about to make a terrible mistake. Girl steps in front of door, so you can't leave without pushing her out of the way. Girl stops, head against your door, mouth tilted up toward yours. Okay, not too many ways to read that. I stepped closer, then stalling, I lifted a hand to smooth that silky hair away from her face. She leaned into my hand slightly, and that tiny gesture gave me the courage to tip my face down to hers. Even then, I almost chickened out. I'd wanted to kiss this girl since the first time I saw her. This couldn't possibly be happening. But it was. Our lips met softly. My heart was a freight train in my chest, urging me on. But I fought the impulse to rush, because Katie deserved better than that. I kissed her slowly, teasingly even, once. Twice. It was glorious. She made a sweet little noise of approval, and the sound shot through me like a sonic boom. Feeling bold, I deepened the kiss. I scooped one hand into the silky hair at the back of her neck and when she opened for me, the first slow slide of my tongue against hers sent my brain on a week-long sailing trip around the Caribbean. Leaning in, I lost myself in Katie's sweet mouth. She tasted like wine and honey. Her hands slipped around my back, and I practically died of happiness. Still, after the most amazing 90 seconds of my life, I made myself pull back. Because all my blood had departed the thinking regions of my body to run south, and I needed my brain to come back online before I somehow found a way to wreck this perfect evening. "Katie," I said, my forehead resting against hers, "thank you for this awesome night. You are excellent company. I hope we can do it again sometime." God, I hope that was the right thing to say. She was quiet for a moment.
"Andy?"
"Yeah," I whispered, my voice thick.
"Can we do it again right now?"
Chapter 11. Katie. I saw Andy take a long, slow blink. For a second there, he looked like he was trying to remember a formula for his physics exam. But then he gave me the cutest smile. And there was more warmth in his face right then than I'd ever seen in my jerk face ex's expression. For a moment, I worried that he was going to be a gentleman and beg off. But once again, Andy proved that he wasn't a stupid man. His hands came up to cup my jaw, and then his mouth slanted over mine again. This time, his kiss was filled with the most delicious tension. There was plenty of hunger in that kiss. When our tongues met, he made an achy little sound. But wrapped around his obvious need was a sweet layer of restraint. He wanted to do this. I could taste how much. But he wasn't going to lunge at me. He did not grab me or press me against the door. That left us taking kiss after long, slow kiss. Each one felt a little harder to control than the last. The big hands, which were so gently cradling my jaw, were actually trembling. Hottest thing ever. If I'd been a good girl, like my mother had hoped, I wouldn't have taken this as a challenge. I was not, however, a good girl. I reached for him, my palms grazing his ribs, venturing down to his waist. The feel of all that solid boy flesh under my hands was divine. He wasn't bulky like the fullback who shall not be named. Instead, he was taut and firm in all the right places, and as I explored his upper body, his breathing kicked up a couple of notches. Because I've never been good about backing off, I reached around, cupping his ass. With a tug, I pulled him against me. And gabardine doesn't hide much. His belt buckle was not the only thing suddenly stabbing me in the belly. The feel of him just lit me up. This smart, kind boy knew all the dumbest things about me. He'd received my ugliest secret without judgment. And now I was kissing the stuffing right out of him. And he was really into it. He broke our kiss with a groan. His lips wandered down my jaw next and onto my neck, dropping kisses in their wake. When he moved, the part of him which was currently straining inside his pants brushed against the silk of my dress, and the result was a single and wholly unsatisfying drag of friction between my legs. I didn't bother to hold back my moan of frustration. At the sound of it, Andy's lips ceased their travel down my neck, and his body went completely still. Carefully, he rose up to his full height again, pulling me into a gentle hug against his chest. Into my ear, he whispered, "Katie, you are making me completely crazy. That's why I think it's time to walk you home." In the silence which followed, I could only hear two beating hearts. "Just tell me this," I said finally. "Do you really want me to go home?" He gave a strangled chuckle. "What I want is for you to wake up tomorrow and say, 'I had an unexpectedly great time last night. In fact, I want to see that skinny guy again.'" "Unexpectedly great?" I whispered. "Well, yeah. Or good. I could work with good, too." I smiled into his neck. I had no trouble thinking up a few things that would feel unexpectedly great. His skin against my skin, for example. Sex had just always made sense to me. I treasured that communion, whether it was slow and sweet or hot and wild. The guys I dated weren't really fond of showing much emotion, so getting them naked had always seemed to be my go-to method for getting a glimpse of their unguarded selves. Andy wasn't like the others, though. He didn't mind sharing how he felt. But that only made me hungrier for him. All evening he'd been funny and generous, Without clothes, I imagine more of the same, only much more intense. That sounded delicious. Still, I felt myself hesitate, and it wasn't a sensation that I was used to. Perhaps second-guessing myself was going to be a new habit. I nuzzled into his collar, where I could feel Andy's pulse ticking against my nose. I took a deep breath. He smelled like clean laundry and strong, steady boy. At that moment, I could swear that I'd known him for years. See, I said into his collarbone. The last time I did something impulsive with a guy, it was a total disaster. I've spent the last week telling myself that I'm a big idiot. His arms tightened protectively around me then, and I loved him for it. But I don't want to be embarrassed anymore, and I don't want to feel guilty about wanting you right now. He took a deep, slow breath, and then let it out the same way. I want you to, but I'm willing to wait. I know. It came out as a husky whisper. But that's why you don't have to. Reaching up, I undid the first button on his shirt, teasing the collar apart. I stood on my tiptoes and began kissing his neck. This brought my body closer to his, and I did not waste the chance to brush against the bulge in his trousers. Andy let out a groan that could probably be heard the next town over. Suddenly, we were lip-locked again, and simultaneously stumbling out of our shoes. Without my heels on, I was a lot shorter than him. Andy had to lean down fairly far to kiss me, so I gave him a little shove toward the bed. He took a couple of awkward steps back until the bed collided with his legs. Down he went, bringing me with him. Reacting fast, he tucked my head under his chin as we landed with a mutual oof. Are you okay? He laughed. Scrambling into his lap, I said, Yes, kiss. I, kiss, am. And I'd be even better if we could lose some of these clothes. Andy's eyes squeezed shut. That's. Don't you want to? I whispered. A little wave of insecurity splashed over me then. Although Andy had the flustered, lusty look of a turned-on guy, and I loved that look. The face that said, You have my complete and undivided attention. So I didn't really know why he'd hesitate. He flopped backward on the bed. Instead of looking me in the eye, he pinched the bridge of his nose. I just spent the evening hoping you could recover your appreciation for the male species, so it seems wrong to pounce on you the minute you're feeling okay again. I leaned onto one elbow, looking down on him at close range. The male gender. You are not a different species, I teased him. Even if you all act like it sometimes. But he did not smile. Sorry, he murmured. Not thinking too straight right now. I just don't want you to hate me tomorrow, because it wouldn't be worth it. He reached for one of my hands, taking it between his two, kissing my palm. I admired his long fingers. There was affection in his touch. I'd been basking in it all evening, whether I'd realized it or not. I'm never hating you tomorrow, I told him. In answer, he pulled me closer, until my head came to rest on his chest. His long fingers skimmed my hair. I had only an oblique view of his face, and he seemed to be thinking hard, maybe too hard. You said something tonight about receiving a gift, I prompted him. That there was something a little magic about receiving something from another person, that it was bigger than the thing itself. He chuckled. Sounds like something I might say to a pretty girl I was trying to impress. I picked my head up. I think it worked. And if I tell you one more time that you're thinking too much, will you believe me? I hiked myself up farther onto his chest, looking down into his face, and then I waited to hear his answer.
Chapter 12. Andy. I opened my eyes and looked up into Katie's stunning face. Her smile wasn't naughty like it had been before. It was happy. Somehow on this bonkers night, I'd made her happy. And no matter what happened next, that felt like a big victory. I tugged her head back down on my chest. Her silky hair brushed my chin, and her sweet, fruity scent was doing a number on my self-control. I've been told that before, I said. What? That I think too much? There are worse complaints. I said, kissing the top of her head. We were basically living out part of my fantasy life right now. Katie Vickery was lying on my bed. My desk lamp cast a yellow glow onto the wood paneling. From where I lay, it felt as if we were the only two people in the world. Seriously, Katie lying in my bed didn't make sense under any other construction of reality. She sat up a little bit and finished unbuttoning my shirt. Then she kissed my neck just below my ear.
You know better than to argue with a girl who's undressing you, right?
Yep, I said immediately, because I am not an idiot. Ask anyone. I was going to let this happen, because if I didn't, I'd regret it for the rest of my life. And everyone in this bed was there willingly, and nobody was drunk. Check and check.
This dark blue is a great color for you, by the way.
Thanks. And thank you, Delia. I grinned, wondering what I would find to say when she called tomorrow to ask how my date went.
And your smile is hot,
Katie said, finishing the buttons. Your everything is hot, I said, sitting up. I ditched the shirt. And what the hell? I ditched the t-shirt beneath it, too. Katie's eyes flared, and then she lowered her head and began kissing all the recently exposed skin that she could reach. I gasped, because I'm sexy like that. And because she'd begun working open my belt, and just the proximity of her hands to my groin had me throbbing. I reached for her, finally allowing myself to run my fingers down the sides of her satiny dress, past her waist, which fit entirely into my two hands. I stopped when her hips slid into my grip. Yes. She felt amazing. And then she yanked on my pants, and my boxers, too. I lifted my hips and let it all fall away. Oh, hell, pinch me. I was naked with Katie Vickery. Except for my dress socks. Because dress socks looked great on a naked guy. Fail. Quickly, I ditched my socks and then wrapped Katie into a kiss that was probably going to last until New Year's. And then she wrapped her hand. Oh, God. Okay. Nothing was going to last until New Year's. Or even 5 minutes unless I got a hold of myself. So I shifted away from her ambitious fingers and carefully lifted her dress over her head. But that only made me hotter. Because now I had a full-on view of the sexiest bra that had ever made an appearance in my real life. It was lacy and black, and my eyes were probably bugging out just looking at it. Katie wiggled out of a pair of stockings, revealing the smallest lace panties ever manufactured. Seriously, the physics lab up on Science Hill could attempt to split them like an atom in the particle accelerator. I think I stopped breathing. My brain took a sabbatical to Tahiti.
Chapter 13. Katie. Okay, who knew I'd become a basketball fan tonight? After his big hands scooped my dress up over my head, Andy stretched, elongating that powerful torso as he reached over his head. I was almost too busy drooling over his tight chest to notice that he'd taken care to lay my dress over the chair. I reclined on the bed, and Andy propped himself up on his elbows over my body. Dropping his head, he began to trace the outline of my strapless, it-fits-under-every-dress bra with his tongue. My modest cleavage had never been my best attribute, but as he kissed me, Andy made the kind of low, happy noise of a man who had just been given exactly what he craved. And as if it wasn't sexy enough, he raised his eyes to mine, his expression burning hot. I didn't know if he was asking for permission or merely trying to torture me, but I'd never felt quite like the center of someone's universe before. The slow slide of his lips, coupled with that heated gaze, had me tingling everywhere. His lips skimmed lower, and then lower still. He began dropping soft, open-mouthed kisses just at the top of my panties. He lifted those eyes again, and the cold, dark stare was back, its intensity redoubled. I began to practically squirm with desire. In a second, I was probably going to start begging. At last, he dropped his mouth onto the lace between my legs and kissed me gently, all without breaking eye contact. I was almost too turned on to care that there was only enough friction to make promises, not to deliver. The sight of his lean, muscular shoulders and biceps framing my legs was something I won't soon forget. I panted while he teased me with the barest touch. And when he pressed his lips against my body and groaned, I thought I would die. Okay, enough with the teasing. I plunged my fingers into his hair, then gave his head a little tug. He came willingly, all that firm skin and muscle covering me like I wanted it to. And then we were kissing again, so desperately that I tasted more of Andy than of myself. The heavy beat of a dance tune began to pulse on the other side of Andy's wall. For a second I was under the illusion that the sound was my own heartbeat amplified, because I was throbbing everywhere. And then, hallelujah. He hooked the bikini strap of my panties with one thumb and dragged them down. We made out with incredible urgency, as if a meteor were about to obliterate the earth. Our two bodies moved together, the hot beat of his neighbor's music urging us on. Katie, Andy breathed between kisses. Should I find a... I gave him one more hard kiss, and then a shove on the shoulder to encourage him. Go, hurry. He was up like a shot and rifling through his top dresser drawer. But after 10 seconds of fervent scraping around, I began to get nervous. It was all well and good to be with the sweet sort of guy who didn't expect you to put out. But when push was ready to come to shove, having the necessary equipment was awfully important. Luckily, he found what he was looking for. A half second later, Andy was back on the bed and sheathing himself with hands so eager that they shook. I saw him take a deep breath and gather himself together. Instead of climbing on top of me, though, he gave me a little nudge and lay down beside me, pulling me into his arms. He inhaled deeply again and let it out slowly. I trailed my hand down his chest. Second thoughts? I asked, hoping he wouldn't say yes. He shook his head. No way. You? Not a chance. But even as I said it, I had the first quiver of uncertainty I'd ever experienced just before sex. A little voice in my head said, Really, Katie? Shouldn't you feel shame for this? Other girls would. This stopped me for perhaps 2 seconds. Oh, shut up, I ordered that voice. Those other girls didn't know what they were missing. I was not going to let the football player who shall not be named ruin this moment for me. Andy shifted into position over me again, but he didn't make it happen yet. Instead, he lifted his long hand to cup my face, and he kissed my forehead tenderly. I've had a thing for you since the first art history lecture, he said. What? With all his warm skin over me, it was hard to track any conversation. You sat in front of me with a friend, he whispered, kissing my nose. You told her you'd always wanted to visit the Louvre and the Prado, but you were happy to take the course first. You were wearing a pink t-shirt and a denim skirt. Your friend was looking at Facebook for the whole lecture, but not you. You took notes. Your hair was held back in a pink scrunchie, and I wanted to pull that out and let your hair fall down loose. Somewhere in the middle of that little speech, I'd stopped breathing. Wow, I gasped. I was blown away. Gone. Above me, Andy just smiled. But no pressure, right? Looking up at him, I giggled suddenly, and all the tensions of the evening fizzed up, shaking my stomach with laughter. For a second, I thought that I was going to totally lose it, the way that laughter sometimes grabs a hold of you and won't let go. It was entirely possible that I was about to become hysterical. But Andy just smiled wider. Then he lowered his grin to my jaw and kissed me there. And then he kissed the sensitive spot under my ear, and my neck, and my collarbone. The laughter died in my throat, and I relaxed onto the bed. Is this okay? He whispered, bringing his body close to mine. Yes, I breathed. As he fitted us together, Andy groaned like a man in pain, but he moved like a man in love. I wrapped my arms around him, drinking in his kisses. Katie, he whispered, his breath catching. And the sound of it was the same sound you'd make if you'd just unwrapped an unexpected gift and found just what you'd wanted inside.
Chapter 14. Andy. Oh, Jesus. Pinch me? Seriously, this couldn't really be happening. Not to me. In fact, any minute now, I was going to wake up in some library somewhere, face down in a puddle of my own drool, with my physics notes pasted to my face. And when they peeled off, I'd have equations tattooed all over my cheek in blue ink. A good dream was the only plausible explanation for this moment. And why the fuck was I thinking about physics notes right now? I needed to memorize this moment. Because if it was really happening, then the world was probably ending. Maybe there was a rip in the space-time continuum, which meant that the polarity of the Earth was in jeopardy. And, Oh, wow. Jeez. Wow. This is so much wow.
Chapter 15. Katie. Beautiful creature. A single bead of sweat at your neck, your agonized huff of breath, as you try to hold yourself back. We have brought each other here, to this place of slicked skin against skin, torturing each other so perfectly. More, I beg you, because I can't help myself, and you close your eyes with gratitude for this pretty moment.
Chapter 16. Andy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Yes. More? Wow.
Good. Too good. Red zone here. Danger! Quick! Picture Mrs. Dunlop's neck. Warty fifth grade teacher to the rescue. Okay. I've got this, except... Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Just so sexy. So sexy. I've never made anyone moan before. Oh, that sound! Oh, hell. It's coming. And it's going to be good. But is she going to... I need her to... Oh, God. Please let her just... Time for a Hail Mary maneuver. Maybe if I reach down and touch her there... Wait. How do guys do this? My arm is stuck. I can't get out of my own way. Wait. Okay. Right there. Winning! Yeah! Almost. Come on, Seabiscuit! But... Ah! Feels incredible for me, too! Mayday! This train is pulling out of the station! Can't hold out much longer!
Chapter 17. Katie. The look on your face, sweet and intense, shreds my heart. Now I'm tilting fast and spinning hard. All of me is lost to you.
Chapter 18. Andy.
Complete loss of brain function. Please stand by.
Chapter 19. Katie. For a few minutes, we just lay there, breathing hard, while dance music continued to vibrate the bedroom wall. Andy's face was stuffed half into the pillow, half onto my hair. I could feel the rapid rise and fall of his chest against mine. But eventually the music stopped, and the silence seemed to bring the two of us back into focus. It was quiet enough to talk now, only I didn't know what I wanted to say. Even for someone like me, who really liked sex, the part afterward was a little awkward. There was always that uncomfortable moment when your brain came back online and reminded you that you should probably untangle yourself from this sweaty boy and go on with your life. The realization that special moments didn't always last was a disappointment, and the more special they were, the bigger the letdown. This one was kind of a doozy. Andy had gotten his breathing back under control and was now playing with the lock of my hair.
Can I ask you something?
His voice was muffled. Yeah, or yes. Sorry, Mother. Though come to think of it, after what I'd just done, stripping this boy naked and practically leaping on him, the use of yes versus yeah was a moot point. Right, Mom?
What I need to know is...
He hesitated.
Do you feel a sudden compulsion to begin dating women?
What? Oh, I began to laugh.
Be honest, he said,
turning his head to show me his smiling eyes.
Do you have an urgent desire to run out for a copy of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition?
Laughing, I realized this boy was just going to keep on surprising me. Well, now that you mention it, I do find myself wondering whether I should date someone who shares my taste in lipstick. First he gave my ass a pinch, then he pulled me close and I snuggled into his neck.
For a few minutes, his hands gently skimmed my back, but eventually he smoothed my hair down and sighed. I really don't want to move, but I have to get up and get rid of this, condom, right? I released him, though I didn't want to. Rolling off the bed, he grabbed a tissue from the box on his desk, then stood in front of the waste paper basket, his back to me. I used the moment to marvel at how long his legs were, and the fact that he had a really nice butt for someone so slim. Go figure. I should really go, I said. When Andy turned around, he was frowning. Oh, no you don't, he said, giving his head a little shake. Not so fast. He came back toward me, and I tried not to stare at his nakedness. There was something really sexy about that long, lean body. He was built as if only the best, most essential parts had been added to his frame, as if any extra would just be a distraction. On his way over, he snagged his boxers off the floor and stepped into them. I'd pulled the sheet up to cover myself, and now he gave me a little nudge to move over for him. Dorm beds were pretty narrow, but I scooted toward the wall and he slid into the bed, rolling onto his side to face me. Hi, he said. Hi. I clutched the sheet against my chest. I was feeling very naked all of a sudden. I thought if I trapped you in here, you wouldn't go. He'll want me to, eventually, I pointed out. If I'm still here a week from now, that would just be weird. Well, he cleared his throat. If you say so. But we could probably compromise on tomorrow morning, no? Beneath the sheets, his toes wandered over to be with mine. He trapped the arch of my foot between both of his and gave it a squeeze. I didn't know what to say. My football player boyfriends had always complained that they couldn't possibly spend 8 hours crammed into a tiny bed with me. You won't sleep well, and there are exams to study for. He gave his head a shake. That's not the point. I want the whole package. We're supposed to have that tricky night's sleep, where I'm trying not to give you a black eye when I roll over. And I believe I'm entitled to some awkward conversation in the morning. Seriously? I fought off a grin. Seriously. He leaned over to kiss my eyebrow, and then had to turn away so he could yawn. It was catching, so I yawned too. The problem is that I only have a dress to wear, walking home tomorrow morning. I let the sentence trail off, because he'd understand what I meant. Anyone who saw me would know I was doing the walk of shame. It was called that for a reason. Andy frowned. I have sweats you could borrow. I pointed across the room at my spike heels lying on the floor, where I'd shed them so hastily a little while ago. He chewed on his lip for a second. Okay, I'll walk you home right now, if that's what makes you the most comfortable, he said. Otherwise, I can set my alarm for 7. But we'll probably wake up then anyway, after elbowing each other all night. He gave me a shy smile. And if we could walk you home before anyone else even thinks about waking up. Then I could wait at the coffee shop while you shower and change. And then we'll get the earliest possible start on memorizing 200 European paintings. I said, as my heart gave a little flutter. That all sounded too good to be true. There won't be a soul outside at 7 in the morning, especially during exams, he pointed out. You really want me to stay? He was probably just being nice. He gathered me up in his long arms. I really, really do.
Chapter 20. Andy. I found a t-shirt for Katie to wear. Actually, I picked out my favorite one, which had an X-Wing fighter on the front of it, and that made her laugh. And I loved her laugh, because it sounded a little bit out of control. Here was a girl who usually matched her hairband to her sweater. She looked pristine and put together every time I saw her, but the sound of her giggle gave her away. It was riotous. And man, my X-Wing t-shirt had never looked so good as it did with her long legs sticking out from under the hem. I found her an extra toothbrush, too. And then I checked to see if the bathroom was empty, and it was. So Katie did the mini walk of shame into the bathroom to brush. Do you want the inside or the outside? I asked when she returned, pointing at the bed. You first, she said. I shut the lamp off and then climbed in, scooting all the way over to the wall. She got into bed then, gingerly. First, I pulled the covers up. Then I put my hands on her hips and pulled her close to me. Let me show you how this works best. I said, angling the pillow just so. I positioned Katie's back against me so that her head was level with my sternum. That way we both had some breathing room.
Hmm.
She lazed against me.
Okay, I think I get it.
Luckily, it was dark, and she was facing the other way, so she couldn't see how big my dorky smile was just then. Seriously, you could probably see my teeth from space, because I'd never been happier than I was right then. I had the girl of my dreams in my bed, curled up against me. I was optimistic that maybe this would become a thing, but that was probably getting ahead of myself, right? I wasn't going to lie here and worry about it, though. No matter what happened tomorrow, I would always have this night. So, I prompted, which European paintings are we going to memorize first?
The medieval ones,
she said immediately.
There aren't as many of those as in the Renaissance section.
Good point, I whispered, smoothing my hand down her hair.
I'm a little worried about the modern stuff,
she confessed.
He covered it really fast. The Russians, I don't remember what any of those paintings look like.
Like the knife grinder? We can tackle those, I said. You know that little sofa in the back of the coffee shop? I'll park my butt on that puppy while you're changing. We can sit there and flip through the paintings on my laptop. There was a pause, and I hoped she wasn't about to tell me that she'd rather study alone.
We are going to rock that test, she said instead. We are going to kick its ass.
Again, I grinned in the dark. We are going to send it home crying for its mama. Katie giggled again, and I felt it in my chest. Then it got quiet for a little while, and I wondered if she'd fallen asleep. I wasn't sure I even wanted to fall asleep, because I didn't want to miss a moment of being with her.
Andy?
She asked suddenly. Yeah.
Have you ever had a one-night stand before?
Well, there was a tricky question. Well, I'm not sure I can say. She turned to peek at me over her shoulder.
Never mind. That was a really personal question.
I dropped my arm around her waist and gave her a squeeze.
That's not the problem.
It's just that I'm not sure. The answer is no, unless I'm having one right now, and I was really hoping that wasn't the case. After I said it, my heart nearly failed. Was that too much too soon?
You're definitely safe,
Katie whispered.
Phew.
I dropped my nose into her hair and took a deep breath of her.
Good to know,
I said. Her slim fingers gently stroked my wrist for a few minutes. And then she began to breathe deeply. I lay there smiling in the dark for a while longer, until I fell asleep too. And I had very, very good dreams. Epilogue. Dash McGibb had a way of flipping his pen up in the air and catching it again. He did this while sitting in one of the old wooden lecture hall seats, waiting for the exam to begin. He flipped the pen a dozen times. Flip, catch, flip, catch. It helped take his mind off of two uncomfortable things. The exam was one of them. He'd taken this course because it had sounded easy. Looking at paintings. How hard could that be? And football season had ended only 2 weeks ago. That had taken up most of his time. This test? It might go badly. Also, there was the matter of the empty seat next to his. Until a week ago, that seat was always occupied by the most attractive girl in the freshman class. But Katie Vickery had not appeared in class for the last two lectures, and Dash guessed that he was the reason why. The other night at the party, she had seemed okay. She'd even spoken to him a little bit, something about party planning trucks with pigs on them. He'd hardly been able to concentrate on their discussion because he'd been freaking out. Because she knew. Somehow, she'd figured out the ridiculous prank they'd made him pull. He'd seen the knowledge of it on her face the moment she appeared beside the Christmas tree, even though his frat brothers had told him that the girls never found out. They'd promised that it would be a secret, and that there wouldn't be a shred of evidence. At least, that last part held true. He sure didn't want pictures floating around campus of him getting shit. It was such a stupid thing that he'd done. So colossally stupid. And for what good reason? She must have figured it out immediately, because Katie wasn't the sort of girl who would skip the last two lectures. All he could do about it now was watch the door, hoping that Katie didn't blow off the final exam just because he'd been the world's biggest asshole. He didn't want that on his conscience. that was plenty on it already. The minutes ticked by, and he waited. At the front of the room, the teaching assistants set up a projector. They would show 60 paintings, pausing 30 seconds on each one. There had to be a few easy ones in there, right? He was hoping to see the Mona Lisa's odd smile, or maybe the Last Supper. At last, Katie hurried through the door, her gaze sweeping the crowd. He lifted a hand to wave to her, to let her know that he'd welcome having her as his seatmate, even though she probably hated him. Her gaze slid right on past. Dash watched as Katie scanned the room, a ripple of uncertainty on her face. Then that ripple broke into a shy little smile, which she directed at a lanky boy two rows up. Wait, he was the basketball player, her date from the other night. The guy sat up straighter as she approached. Katie had that effect on people. They wanted to be just a little bit more of whatever they were when she was around. Dash had felt the same way. It's just that he'd never figured out what to do about it. Katie scared the shit out of him most of the time. That's how he always ended up slipping into the lowbrow humor of his frat buddies. He knew it wasn't the right way to talk to her. It's just that he'd never figured out what to say instead. Looked like he'd never get that chance now. She scooted into the row where the basketball player sat. Following exam day rules, she didn't take the seat next to his, but left an empty one between them. Still looking a little awkward, maybe even sheepish, Katie lowered her bag onto the empty chair, then turned to face him. The basketball player reached a long arm behind the empty chair to give her ponytail a playful tug, and Dash saw Katie's smile melt into something warmer and less self-conscious than it had been a few seconds before.
"I wanted to ask you to lunch," the guy said, "but my bossy sister is going to be waiting for me in her car after the exam. She's my ride to New Hampshire."
"We'll go for lunch after the break," Katie said. 3 weeks from now."
"Yeah," he agreed, "but that sounds like a long wait to me."
Her face got soft then, and Dash didn't recognize that expression. He wondered if she'd never shown it to him, or if maybe he hadn't recognized it when he'd had the chance.
"I almost forgot," her date said, reaching to the floor for what turned out to be a tiny little gift bag. "This is a good luck present. For the exam."
Her eyes sparkled as she took the gift in two hands. Reaching inside, she removed two long, thin objects.
"They're a lightsaber pen and pencil?"
"Those are really good luck,"
Katie giggled.
"Because the Force is with me?"
"Now you're getting it. There's one more thing in that bag."
Katie reached inside one more time, removing a little green thing, which she balanced on her palm.
"It's Yoda."
"He's wise. And he also erases," the basketball player said.
She laughed.
"That's... they're perfect. Thank you."
"It's nothing," was his reply.
But obviously that wasn't true, because Katie arranged those funny things on the little wooden writing arm of the lecture hall seat, then smiled at them as if she'd been given a set of crown jewels. Dash flipped his very ordinary pen up into the air again, puzzling over what he'd just seen. He knew that girls liked flowers, which he'd never really understood. Flowers were expensive, and they looked really sad when they began to wilt. But a Star Wars pen? What the ever-loving fuck? It was almost exam time, though. A graduate student had passed a stack of test booklets down the aisle. Dash took one and passed the rest of the stack onwards.
"Quick,"
Katie said. She handed the basketballer a bulging gift bag. From inside, he pulled that awful pink basketball he'd been playing with the other night. Then he put a hand over his mouth and laughed. Katie beamed at him.
"It made me think of you. Sorry, there's something else in the bottom of the bag."
He pulled out a large bar of gourmet chocolate.
"Hey, salted caramel!"
"Because we didn't make it to the ice cream shop."
After she said that, her ears began to turn pink.
"Right," he chuckled. "I was really broken up about that."
"I'll bet,"
she said, looking toward the proctor, who was passing out the actual test now.
"Thank you, Katie,"
the basketball player said. He put his gifts on the floor and smoothed the test down onto the tiny desk in front of him.
"And good luck."
"May the Force be with you," she replied.
Dash looked down at the test he'd just been handed. It was time to stop worrying about Katie and start worrying about European art. The painting identifications were tough, but probably not a total disaster.
The essay question he chose took a long time, though, and by the time he'd finished comparing the Baroque period to Renaissance painting, he was one of the last people left in the room. Tired now, Dash gathered up his things and turned in his exam booklet. He shook out his cramped writing hand and headed for the door. He had managed not to think about Katie for 90 minutes, but that streak ended when he exited the building. The basketball player was just tossing a duffel bag into the back of a car. Then he chucked the pink basketball inside, too. Turning to Katie, he opened his arms. With a sweet smile, she stepped in close and hugged him. Looking away, Dash punched the traffic button to activate the crosswalk. And did those buttons really do anything anyway? Or were they just a way of asking for your patience while cars kept rolling by? Out of the corner of his eye, Dash could still see Katie and the tall guy. They were kissing now, but kissing didn't even do it justice. They were kissing each other as if they'd just invented it. She'd risen up onto tiptoes to reach him, and his arms encircled hers as if he were holding a rare and precious thing. The look of pure absorption on the guy's face did something to Dash's gut. He'd once held 5 feet and 4 inches worth of perfection in his arms, and he hadn't tried even half as hard to hold onto it. Now that seemed like an error. A big one. The car that the happy couple leaned against gave a loud and impatient blast of its horn. They broke off their lip lock, laughing. "I'll call you," the guy said.
"I hope you will,"
was Katie's answer. "Now go, before you get in trouble."
"I'm already in trouble,"
he said, opening the passenger door. He winked, folded himself into the car, and closed the door. Katie gave him one more wave. Dash glared up at the traffic light, willing it to change. Finally, it did, but he hesitated for a second anyway as Katie closed the distance to the corner.
"I'm sorry."
The words formed themselves on the tip of his tongue as she approached. He could say that, right? That was the thing he really needed to do. Pedestrians moved forward, stepping off the curb, including Katie. So Dash followed her, readying himself to speak to her once they'd crossed the busy street.
"Katie?"
he said, but she didn't turn around. She hadn't heard him, and now the trill of a cell phone rang out. Katie pulled her phone from her pocket, answering even as she walked down College Street.
"Hi there."
He could hear a smile in her voice.
"I didn't think you meant you'd call right away,"
she giggled. Without a backward glance, she kept right on moving, her long strides carrying her up the street, away from Dash. He watched her until she well and truly disappeared.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Blonde Date, an Ivy Years novella, written by Serena Bowen, performed by Saskia Marleveld and Nick Podell. Producer Mike Charzik. Copyright 2014 Serena Bowen. Production copyright 2016 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc. If you enjoyed this audiobook, be sure to get more books in the Ivy Years series today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.